Time for another edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union, to the tune of the Magnificent Seven, the magnificent local realtor, bon vivant, man about town, Matt Cargiolotti.
I love that movie, man.
The Loose Cannon.
The original one? I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, Yul Brynner was such a bizarre dude, you know, and it was kind of like a fascinating guy to see them. And Steve McQueen, too. I'm like, how can you go wrong with Steve McQueen?
You can't.
He wasn't jumping a motorcycle over a barbed wire fence or anything, but
no. But still. Yeah. That's good stuff. That was a good movie. Yeah, I didn't like the remake, but
I haven't seen the remake. And if I did, I don't remember it.
Don't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think I have seen it. I just don't remember it.
Time for it. It didn't make that much of an impression on you.
Yeah, I think I fall asleep.
Yeah, there you go. Fact or fantasy? Truth or dare?
Truth or dare.
All right.
That's right.
Do we really want to go here this morning?
Go for
it. Sure, why not? Facts or fallacies?
Right.
There's no difference between a realtor and a real estate agent.
Well, that is a fallacy. Yeah, no, a realtor. So the realtors, the National Association of Realtors is actually one of the oldest professional organizations. I think it actually is the oldest professional organization in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually assembled by a band of real estate agents to get together to be able to assemble some best practices and also some cooperating brokerage, which means that, hey, you know, someone calls me up and a real estate agent calls me up and says, hey, Matt, I want to show this house that you have listed. Is that okay? Well, of course it is. Yeah, no, we're both realtors and members of our multiple listing service. So, yeah, no, my goal is, if that place is listed, is that the house sells. It's got nothing to do whether I sell it or not. I mean, the goal is to make sure it sells. And so what that does is that also ensures that that agent, you know, through their membership of the multiple MLSs and also through their affiliation with the National Association of Realtors, Iowa Association of Realtors, that they receive some compensation for their work. And so that's the bottom piece. That's the meat of it. But, I mean, it's also really about best practices. And some of our core standards is the thing that the realtors have been pushing pretty hard for the last few years and trying to kind of take some of these, you know, markets that are in the dark ages and kind of how their processes are and handshakes and winks and things like that and kind of eliminate that. And so and turn transactions into a bit more formal process. Yeah. And where's a real estate agent? Well, a real estate agent is a state licensed real estate agent. And so sales licensee. And so you take do your education, you have to test, you get a federal, you know, I mean a state background check. A real estate broker has to host your license. So for example, you know, I have four licensees that work underneath my broker's license. All right, right? So and then I have to host those agents to be able to, you know, work for a brokerage and a broker. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, big difference.
I thought broker was just because you own the business, and the more money you spend, the broker you get.
That's a big piece of it, too, actually. There is a significant amount of expense in real estate. But, no, broker is to donate that individual has a real estate broker's license. And then you don't have to be an owner to own a real estate brokerage. I mean, you don't have to be a broker to own a real estate brokerage. You could just be, you know, regular person who hires a licensed real estate broker to run your brokerage.
So I could start up my own real estate company and hire a broker.
Everybody else's, man. Go for it.
Without knowing what I'm doing here and just have people work for me.
Yeah, you can actually.
And then just skim.
You'd have to have a broker in charge.
Okay.
And so it wouldn't be a broker owner. It'd be like a broker associate or broker in charge or designated broker is how the state would label it. And then that brokerage couldn't operate unless there was a licensed broker there running it.
Ah, okay. So what if I wanted to like buy say I did that and I've got Matt Kay over here being my broker running this office over here and I decide to open up an office in Timbuktu, Iowa, which is just down the road.
Sure. I've heard of that place.
Would I have to have then another broker to run that office, or could they just be run out of this one here? And then they
I think they do roly-poly out there in Timbuktu.
They do, actually, yeah. As a matter of fact. It's the national pastime.
Well, the license law has actually changed for that. So one of the great things is, and unfortunate things, depends upon how your perspective on it. I go both ways on it, is does an additional office from that same company, don't think of brokerage, but that same company, does that additional office need to have a broker designated to operate it? Well, if it's all part of that same brokerage as a branch office,
mm-hmm.
so a branch of the home office, so like for my Marshalltown office, right? So,
right.
I mean, I haven't done a huge PR release about it or anything, but I do have a small, you know, office in Marshalltown that we opened, right?
A small going concern, as they like to refer to it.
There. And for that, it's now a licensed branch of my Grinnell office. And the great thing about that is I don't have to have another broker there as a designated broker in charge of that office. And I say great because that saves me from having to find another broker to be able to license there for that location. Now, you know, I go back and forth on that. Like, well, does that necessarily make sense? Because there's another location that I'm responsible for that, you know, how often am I in? And usually I'm there one day a week. But, and there's an agent that is designated out of that office. However, that agent's not a broker. So, but last year, 2018, beginning of 2018, end of 2017, the state of Iowa changed the law for that, where no, you no longer have to have a broker at every office. You just have to have a broker in charge of all of those branch offices, and then have agents designated at those offices as needed. So it's a little bit different, you know. I mean, you really, when someone has their broker's license, I mean, they've really achieved something it's a significant amount of work. There's a lot of discipline in it, and you have an expert, right? And so you have an expert that's working on behalf of all those clients that they represent. And a sales licensee, they also have to go through some similar testing, education. However, they also they're going to lack the experience usually, and they're also usually going to lack the background to support, you know, a whole office of people coming up to them saying, hey, I got a question about this transaction, right? That's like a third of my job, is I just answering questions like that all day. So, like, how do I do this? What happens when this happens? You know, like, oh my gosh, this person just said this to me and I'm not really sure what to do. Or, you know, I mean, or the shutdown is, government shutdown has closed all the USDA transactions from closing and all of our clients are about to be homeless, you know, things like that. And so, I mean, having a broker with someone there with that kind of authority to be able to make those choices or those recommendations to advise, I think it's important. However, I mean, I guess it's obviously now, it's not necessarily the law either. The law is you just have to have an agent there. I don't know. I'm kind of torn about it myself. But at the same point, I mean, the answer to your question is no. How's that for the long answer?
There you go. I like that. true or false?
Go for it.
When there's a house for sale, unattended, empty house.
Vacant?
No, vacant house. Vacant, mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm trying to think of the correct term.
Right.
Who's the real estate agent is responsible for clearing the sidewalks and the driveway?
Real estate agent. Unless I've made other arrangements with that particular listing, in a general reference to what agency and listing contracts look like, is their affiliation is purely as a real estate brokerage. So I usually tell people when I'm filling out that offer, I'm like, or filling out the listing contract, and like, when we get down to the point where, like, this is for real estate brokerage services only, I don't mow your lawn, I'm not going to shovel your sidewalk, I don't pick you up from the airport, I'm not getting your kids from school, you know, I'll check on your property as often as I can. However, my job is to attempt to sell it, and I'll safeguard it as much as I can. However, that remains and is still your responsibility. So, Property management is probably the next version of that. That's that next point forward of like, well, I hired this person to be my agent and she just never shoveled the sidewalks to the house. And I'm like, okay, did you talk about that with her? You know, was she expecting that? Because if she is not, then just for brokerage services, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the city or utility companies will contact real estate brokerages all the time. This happens to me weekly. Like, Matt, they didn't put it in their name. And I'm like, right. Well, I told them to. Well, we're going to have to shut it off. Well, I'm sorry. That's happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make anybody do anything. I can make recommendations. I can call them. I can provide them the contact information, you know. I can send them.
You can lead the horse to water.
Right. And then the horse might just turn around and go for a walk, right? And that's kind of what happens sometimes. So, yeah, no. If you have some sort of maintenance setup like that with your real estate agent, you know, I would say maybe keep that more than just a handshake. Maybe keep that in writing. And when I talk to my agents about when they're listing a property, and when I talk to my agents about working for a buyer, develop realistic expectations for the process that they need, right? So, like communication is a key thing. That's like one of the things that, like, you know, it's the number one complaint about real estate agents. Well, I call them, they never call me back, or I leave them a message and I don't ever hear back from them, or send them an email and I hear back from them 4 days later. Like, be clear, you know, be clear with them, with your, you know, your clients, and those clients, you know, make sure that they understand that they need to be clear with you as to what they're expecting. If that's snow removal, then that's snow removal. You know, if you want to go do the shovel that guy's snow for him, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I would recommend that you don't do it. I don't think it's a good idea. It creates a liability, and it's kind of an implied piece of your services at that point that I don't think is necessarily a good idea. But, you know, make sure that they understand that.
If it's a vacant property and they get ticketed because they don't clear their snow,
right?
Does that affect the ability to sell that house? Would that be considered a lien if there's a bill, outstanding
of course.
Bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that does happen from time to time. Not very often, but maybe once every couple of years, I'll see a transaction come through where the city actually has like a lien for lawn or snow removal or something like that. And usually with repo homes, that's one of those things that happens that it doesn't really ever get reported until it ends up going through the abstracting process. And they end up finding that there's an additional lien on the property. Sometimes the city of Brooklyn, for example, and great people, great folks, great city. I lived there. I like it. And but their process is a little bit different. They don't necessarily always file those liens with the county. And then that new owner will get a bill after they move into a property for snow removal for the previous 6 months. And they're like, what is this all about? You know? And so you got to figure out those things ahead of time. And so that's what part of those, like having, you know, a qualified real estate agent who may happen to be a realtor, hopefully it's a realtor, can make those phone calls in advance and determine whether or not, you know, some of those additional pieces may be needed. Local knowledge is such a key thing. Every community, every county, every major municipality, different regions of the state, based on population, based on assets, so many different things determine like the expertise and the experience that a real estate agent really needs to have. I mean, I have people contact me routinely about, hey, will you come to Des Moines and show me properties? And I'm like, I can. I don't know anything about Des Moines, but sure. If you really, really need me to, I'm like, why don't I just set you up with like a rock star Des Moines agent instead that knows this in and out, right? And I'm like, if you want to come to Grinnell or something, sure. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can pretty much like do this with my eyes closed, as I should be able to by now. But you know, take me out of this environment and put me in Des Moines. No, I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert working for you on your behalf. Maybe a transactional expert, but I'm not a local expert. You see what I mean?
Right.
And so many of those local pieces are things that are really important. You know, whether it's like Holiday Lake and it's a septic inspection, or maybe there's a transactional document that needs to be completed for the homeowners association. There's no way that somebody from out of the area is ever going to know that. You know,
I mean, it's going to take someone with the experience in that spot to be able to figure those things out. Or Ponderosa for like their utility company, Ponderosa Utility, right? Which is a family-owned utility company that owns the lake, the roads, and the water utility. And their homeowners association is voluntary, right? You don't, and it's a completely different situation, a completely different setup. It's like, how do you even talk about that if you don't know? You know, how do you actually guide somebody in a transaction through that if you don't know? And so really important, always have a local expert. Just because you get a response on Zillow or Realtor or something like that, you know, that's not necessarily an asset. But I'm not sure that might have been the long answer to your question, but
it was. Thank you. You're right at home with Matt Cardzolotti. We'll crunch numbers. We actually have numbers. We'll crunch them.
They're crunchy.
They're crunchy like the snow outside. We're back right after this. Steve, Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender. Back on Right at Home with Matt Cardzolotti, and it's time to crunch some numbers with Matt.
All right. I need to crunch myself a pair of better readers.
Spectacles here?
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, come on, you want my bifocals?
No, I've got my bifocals on.
Oh.
Right, and I can see through the bi to the unifocal. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
So if you took your bifocals and my bifocals, would that, you know, make it like
let's try it.
Quadfocals?
All right, you ready for this, folks?
Yeah, go for it. All right, here we go. We're trying this.
Oh, wow. Wow, everything's upside down.
All right, there you go.
I don't know.
Left or right? Okay.
That's bizarre.
Okay.
So we did hit our all-time low for inventory that I've ever seen ever in the last 2 weeks. And this was actually not this week, but the previous week. 102, the smallest amount I've ever seen listed, lowest amount I've ever seen listed for all of Poweshiek County and, you know, some parts of Eastern Jasper. So,
if I remember when we started this program, 4 years ago, it was like 260.
Yeah, I think it's about 260.
About 260.
I think you're right. I'm looking it up right now.
If I remember correctly, it was up there.
It was crazy.
250, 260, something like
that. The first week we started this, it was at 250. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so our inventory is ridiculously low, which means that there's not a lot to choose from out there, number one. And then number two, of course, is our prices tend to be, you know, kind of stagnant. They're not going to be dropping very much. There's not going to be a lot of really good deals, but there could be a couple, comparatively speaking, but not that far back. And then it actually came up a little bit this last week. Our inventory came up an additional two. So we're at 104 right now. Our average days on market has been the highest it's been in a long time. It went from 198 from 2 weeks back to 208 1 week back to 215 days currently. And that is, right now, that is the highest it's been in over 2 years. And so the amount of property we have, actually 3 years, the amount of property that we have right now listed is, it's been there for a long time. And the polar vortex or whatever, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That the polar vortex thing is really just kind of, you know, took our already slow market and kind of kicked it into shorts. So there's not much really happening from that. We're going to have to, get some more inventory here pretty soon. And as that, as our weather improves here over the coming days, we're warming up anyways, we'll start to see real estate take a churn from that. I did get our average sale price together for the month of December, and it was pretty wicked. $203,000 per sale for the month of December in 2018. And I know, right?
That's a little on the high side.
Yeah, and that's usually a bad indicator, by the way. I know, it sounds crazy. So whenever that average price starts to climb precipitously like that, we end up with a dramatic jump. Because that's okay. So that's up significantly from 158 from the previous.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've had a average price over 200,000 since 2016 during any month of the year. But what that tends to usually show you is that there's not a lot of inventory, or the inventory we have isn't moving. And so the general market, right? So when we talk about, I always talk about market conformity. Like, how does your house conform? Is it in an average sale price? Is it, you know, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2-car attached garage? If it is, great, good for you. You know, good location, fantastic. And then if you take those that conformity of buyers, and now suddenly we're at this average sale price of 205, well, that's showing you that they're not finding anything to buy, or there's a lack of buyers. I don't think we have a lack of buyers right now. I know I have a lot of buyers right now waiting and looking, and they haven't found very much. I mean, polar vortex or not, this may still be a really good opportunity to get your house sold in the next coming months, maybe have an early spring closing or something. But just because there's such a low amount of inventory, and real estate agents are already going to have this like bucket of buyers who are, you know, asking them, has anything else come on? Has anything else come on? Has anything else come on? I'm still looking. What am I finding? And so, I mean, certainly talk to your local real estate agent and you know, get your place listed if that's something that you're thinking about doing in the coming months. Last week we ended up with three closed transactions, which was down one from the previous at 4, and our pendings were also still relatively uniform at 4 as well. Our new listings were at 2, which was down significantly from 5, and our new active days on market right now was at 168 days, which is pretty high for new active days on market. So a lot of older listings kind of cycling through, coming there, you know, making their way back on again and again. And we've had some really ancient properties that have been on the market for sometimes upwards of three years that have been selling in the last 3 to 4 weeks. So that's also driving that number up. But it's also nice to see them get off the market. You know, it kind of cleans it a little bit and gets us moving forward.
All right. And that'll have to be the final word this morning. You're right at home with Matt Carcelotti. This will be available for rebroadcast at our website at myiowainfo.com. Will we have numbers to post, maybe?
Yeah, not probably this week, but yeah, I have them all. I just have to reconfigure them so they're all readable by human eyeballs. So,
okay.
Right.
Yeah, because that font, what is that 0.005 font?
It's pretty small. I could like probably take readers and a magnifying glass and not sort of fire and be able to read them.
Have to break out the electron microscope to read the numbers.
Right.
All right. You're right at home, brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union. For Matt Cargelotti, I'm Tim Dill for 1410 KGRN.
This is Market Matters on February 1, 2019, brought to you by Corteva Agri.